Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. So we're on the brink of moving into a new year. It's only hours away now, and I'm sure all of you have big plans. But you know, it's not uncommon at this time of year to receive a message that's going to stir you up, that's going to encourage you, amen, and get you or agitate you a little bit into desiring more for the new year and more than before. I think we all say that. Yeah, I want things to be better than last year. I want more than last year. I want more for my life. I want more for my family. I want more for my church. We certainly do. And so all over the planet today, there's going to be pastors, going to be teachers that are going to be encouraging their church to take courage for this coming year, to desire more of God, to fight the good fight of faith, amen? Enlarge the kingdom of light, enlarge God's kingdom. Make New Year's decisions, not New Year's intentions, amen? Or resolutions and all of that kind of thing. And so I believe that I've got a message this morning which is based on Psalm 65, but I've got a bit of stuff that I had to share first of all, so I hope you can bear with me. If you've got your notepads ready, I believe that this will be good this morning, and there's some really important things I believe that the Holy Spirit's been showing us as we prepare to step into the new. And so, you know, some of this has been a reflection, of course, on my own life and in 2017, and hopefully all of you can in some small way relate to this. But, you know, a lot of New Year's intentions revolve around ourselves. You know, let's face it, we want something different to happen every year, but we don't do anything radically different enough to cause a breakthrough sometimes and to make it stick. Usually the problem with the new year is stickability. It's making it stick. And, you know, it's like that old saying, if you chuck enough mud against the wall, something's got to stick, surely. So have you got your slings full of stuff to wind up and then just let it fly against the wall and hopefully... But, you know, I believe that with focus and with determination, and if you keep if you let the Holy Spirit minister to you and you keep that list simple, you can make them all stick. I believe it. Amen? Amen. But I believe that this year we need to place an emphasis on someone different. And the difference maker is the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the emphasis. This year the emphasis has got to be on the Holy Spirit moving us forward. You know, he's the difference maker. We got to recognize that moving into this year without him, moving into 2018 without the Holy Spirit, is just going to result in us driving ourselves forward under our own willpower and under our own determination. Has anyone here got willpower? That's a great trait. Don't lose it. Don't give it up. It's a great trait, but they're finite and they can be short-lived. And, you know, our willpower and our determination, it's great to have willpower and determination, but they can be short-lived. But God's supply, right, it's infinite. There's nothing finite about it. It's infinite. And so when you've got the Holy Spirit driving you forward into a new year, all of a sudden you have something that can sustain you that's different to ever before, because no longer are you relying on your own willpower and your own self-determination, but you've got the fortitude that the Holy Spirit gives you, amen? And so I've got two important points here this morning concerning the Holy Spirit. Number one, it's important for us to depend on his presence this year, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's vital. It's more vital even than the oxygen that we breathe. It really is. He keeps us alive spiritually. Oxygen keeps us alive naturally, and the Holy Spirit keeps us spiritually alive. Amen? He gives us the creativity that fuels books and movies and sermons and music, and he's vital to our life. Amen? The second thing about the Holy Spirit is negative things happen when the Holy Spirit is missing from our lives. As soon as we make a decision, whether it's knowing or unknowingly, that sidelines the Holy Spirit, we begin to experience problems. And so we need to keep the Holy Spirit close. Amen. And in the past, you know, I'm fessing up. I've looked at New Year's with pretty much what can I achieve from this new year? And it's been very, what can I achieve in this new year? And so, maybe I sometimes give myself a pat on the back because at least I'm doing better than some people. The multitudes of people out there that, you know, are not setting any goals, any targets or anything at all. You know, they're totally indifferent to the opportunity of a fresh start or a new start. And I've got no particular place to go. It's just a day, the same day as any other day. I heard someone say that this week. It's really no big deal. It's just another day. But I don't believe that. I believe that there's more significance to it than that. And, you know, it's at this time of the year that there's also this kind of universal derision of all the good folks that set out their stalls early in the new year. They're going to decide, they're going to aim for something. This is what I'm going to do. And then that kind of thing is usually met with a little bit of scorn. You know, well, we'll see how long you last. Has anyone here been down the gym or something like that in the new year? You hear all of these comments, you know. Oh, yeah, here we go. It's the new year rush. Give it 3 weeks. You know, the fruit and veg aisle at Sainsbury's is under fire. You know, everyone's down there. You know, I once heard that, you know, if you want to look after your body, don't eat anything beige. You know, don't eat anything beige. Biscuits, pastries, they're all beige. Don't eat anything beige and you look after your body. New Year, fruit and veg aisle. You know, innocent smoothies probably do a bomb in the new year. It's £3 a bottle, you know, if you're up for it. But, you know, this is it. But, you know, so you get all of this stuff coming back at you. You know, just give it a rest, my friend. In 3 weeks' time, you'll be like the rest of us. You know, but in the words of Jim Collins, if anyone's ever read the book Built to Last, we are built to last. God has designed us to endure. God's designed us to last. And I believe that many of us haven't yet experienced the limits that are possible with the Holy Spirit inside of us. I don't believe we've touched the outer envelope of what is possible. I believe that there's more. I believe that you can go further, that you can do more, that you will shock yourself with the capacity that you have this year to go much further than before with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been made for more. Do you believe that? So I was actually laughing because I don't know where Lewis is at the moment, but he was showing me his new watch. He's got a new watch that tells him the calories and how far he's walked and the time and everything. And believe it or not, there's a caffeine count on it as well. I just looked at it, I said, bad watch. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. There's no way I'm wearing a watch that tells me to stop drinking coffee. Caffeine count. So anyway, but we've got, you know, in Christ, we have no boundaries. The only boundaries that exist are those to protect us and to keep us safe. Amen. Anything else is self-imposed. Is anyone here putting self, are you caging yourself in when you know that there's more out, you can do so much more? And, you know, if you, according to Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. If that is true, and if you believe that is true, and I believe that is true, then there's no limitations, no boundaries, because we can do all things. You know, if God said all things, I'm not going to argue with God. I'm not going to argue with God. I just read about a guy yesterday who walked the Appalachian Trail, 2,800 and something miles, in 46 days. I was astonished. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And many, 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 many years ago, Mark and I walked from John O'Groats to Gretna Green to raise money for Jesus Alive Ministries. It took us 13 days to walk 480 miles. Painful. Then you hear of people that are walking 2,800 miles in 46 days and cycling around the world in less than 80 days. And you think, you know what, God, you've built us to last. You've built us to endure. Amen. You know, some people say you can set goals or targets on any day of the year. And that's right. It's true. You can set goals, you can set targets any day of the year. But I believe that there is a significance in the timing of what we do. Do you believe that God is interested in timing? It's absolutely, he's interested in timing. You know, timing is important to God. You've heard it said, now is the time. This is the day of your salvation. Now is the time. And we've got to pay attention to time. As soon as we start to disregard time and say, well, do you know what? Tomorrow will be fine. Next week will be fine. I'm a big, big victim of that. Procrastination. It will happen in the future. And we want to make it happen. We want to pay attention to time. You know, there's times and seasons in our lives when we can operate in an optimum dimension and have optimum results. And there's a time when you can resist and push through anything that comes against you. We've got to be operating in that time. You know, Jesus was prepared his life. And then when the Holy Ghost empowered him, then for 3.5 years, he was in the optimum zone of his ministry. And he could resist anything. He could stand against anything, enemy. Amen. He could push through anything that came against him. And so maybe this year, this past year, you felt the enemy saying to you, if I'm trying to put on my best Dalek voice, resistance is futile. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, just give it up. You're beat down, stay down, you know. But you know what? There's something admirable about someone who gets up. Who gets up. Pick yourself up and move on. Get going. And you know, Jesus resisted with passion. I heard yesterday, you know, when in context with Jesus chasing the money changers out of the temple, that is the kind of passion that I see in Jesus. You know, he went away to make that whip. It wasn't a whip he picked up. He went away and he made it. What was going through his mind when he is making, it's like premeditated passion. And he was going to let it out. And that is the kind of life I believe God wants us to lead. Amen? Amen. And Linda and I were talking last night for a long time. And you know how sometimes when you talk to people, something you stumble across something that's in your life, but you've said it out loud and it's like, oh, you acknowledge it. And it's amazing. Sometimes you need to hear yourself say something out loud, you know, for it to hit you between the eyes. And that's why it's good to be in relationship, because healthy conversations like a spade in your heart, sometimes it turns stuff over. And I want to say to anyone in this place in this new year, if you have no one that you can go and talk to, then come and see us. We want to talk to you. We want to arrange, maybe you would receive a mentor, a life group leader or something, but someone that you can talk to, because talking stimulates what's inside you, makes you recognize things in your life that need to change. And we were doing that, you know, last night we were talking, and I said to Linda, I said, sometimes I felt that my resistance has been weak. My resistance has been weak. And I'd hardly finished saying that to you when I just heard the Holy Spirit screaming out at me, James 4, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I thought, this is just, you're dumb. Recognize, and I'm like feeling my resistance weak. But I then realized that, the less resistance, the less fleeing goes on. I'm so thankful for God and his goodness. He helps us out. But the less resistance, the less fleeing. The more space we give to our enemy to come in and to steal, kill, and destroy, plunder, and the more he'll take advantage of it. Our resistance has to stay strong. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen? Amen? I just want to read this in James 4, actually. James 4, I'll just go from verse 4, if that's okay, through to verse 10. Because this is such a powerful passage of Scripture. What is the cause of your conflicts and quarrels with each other? Doesn't the battle begin inside of you as you fight to have your own way and fulfill your own desires? It's like the new year. Oh, my desires, my way, my own way. You jealously want what others have, so you begin to see yourself as better than others. You scheme with envy and harm others to selfishly obtain what you crave. That's why you quarrel and fight. And all the time, you don't obtain what you want because you won't ask God for it. And if you ask, you won't receive it, for you're asking with corrupt motives, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. You've become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world. You know, the opposite to having the Holy Spirit in your life is having an unholy spirit in your life. You can either have, your life can be full of the Holy Spirit, or it can be full of an unholy spirit. Let's face it, there's light and darkness, black and white. God doesn't operate in the gray zone, because he's told us about lukewarm anyway. Don't you know that flirting with the world's values places you at odds with God? Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into our hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? But he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us. For it says, God resists you when you're proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humble. So then, surrender to God. Stand up to the devil. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. What a great picture. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come closer to you. Make sure you cleanse your life and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Verse 10, be willing to be made low before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Amen. Amen. It's encouraging news. It's encouraging news. You know, sometimes the word of God, I heard this one time, it's a blade, a balm, and a bandage. And sometimes the word will be the blade that cuts, but it's also the word that is, it embalms you, that binds you up. It bandages you up. But we need the cutting as well as that soothing assurance that God gives us. Amen. And you can be strong. Here's more encouraging news. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, it says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." Amen? Amen. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those. God is looking to keep us strong. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to allow his power and his strength to work through us. Amen. What's the thing on the end though? It's for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And I believe that in 2018, that's something that we're endeavoring to do, is to go deeper. We sometimes it becomes a cliche, but there really is, we have a desire to go further and to go deeper, to be more intimate. Amen. In our, even, you know, on a Sunday, coming here and just letting our praise flow from our lips and just saying, you know, thank you. You know, sometimes we just come in here as a church family and have a party and just say, Father, we're here to celebrate the great things that you've done this week. Amen? Amen. You know, I want to give you a power principle. Could you take a power principle? Yes. You know that our praise can meet God in advance, and then his strength will become available to him. I was thinking of this. We can do something different this year. Instead of praise following on from victory, let's let our praise go in advance of victory. Because sometimes we praise God for what he's done instead of praising him in advance of the victory. I believe that there's something there for us. I believe we need to take heed of that. That is, if we become a people that are praising God in advance of his of the victories that are coming, it will change everything. Amen. And we know that if we read the word, we know that where there was praise, where there was a shout, the victory, the defeat that was incurred on the enemy came after the shout, came after the praise. And so what we've got to, let's not fall into that trap of praising God for what he's done. We should still praise him for what he's done. In fact, the victory shout should be even more intense. But in the run-up to it, we should be praising him. Amen. You know, and oftentimes, you know, you reflect on the year, you think, what is it that we really need to focus on this year? What is it that we need to focus on as a husband and wife? What is it we need to focus on as friends, as a church? And I believe that our most important mandate this year is to extend the love of God to people. That is the most important mandate that we have this year. You know, God is going to build his ministry. God will build his church. It's our mandate to extend the love of God to other people. That's what we've got to do. We're an extension of God's love. He is the vine and we are the branches. And the branches of the body take the love of God further. We've got to reach unreached hearts and unreached places. The only way we can do that is with the love of God. But it's got to be something different. There's got to be something different. I want to say to every one of you this morning that you're different. Not in a strange way, but you're different. And you've got what it takes. You have what it takes inside of you to astonish yourself. And when you take, when pastors and everyone around the world are encouraging their people to take courage this morning, to do something you've never done before, maybe that's going to be to lead someone to the Lord this year. Maybe it's going to be you're going to be a witness to someone this year, or multiple people. Amen. Can you deal with that? I was reading Hosea, the book of Hosea, yesterday. It's an amazing book. And basically, this man, Hosea, is married to a woman named Gomer, okay? And she's basically unfaithful to him. She's impure. And the story tells you how God worked through his difficult life situation through Hosea's life to extend his love, God's agape love, through Hosea to others. I mean, that's a pretty difficult life situation to be in. That your wife is a serial adulteress. That she is unfaithful. You know when someone is unfaithful to you, it cuts you to the quick. When someone is disloyal to you, it can cut you to the quick. But here's this man who's being empowered by God in the midst of this situation, okay? And now in his time, people were no different to they are now. It was around about 760 BC. And the social picture looked a bit like this. Corrupt leaders, instability in family life, widespread immorality, class hatred and discrimination, and poverty. Does that sound like it was something that stayed in 760 BC? No. I mean, the social picture of Hosea's time is just the same as the social picture of our time. Amen? And to top matters off, the people who were insincere in their worship, and they were involved in idolatry. And there's a lot of types and shadows in the book of Hosea because it talks about, God's people, the Israelites, playing the harlot. Have you ever heard that phrase before? They played the harlot. They were unfaithful. And here's Hosea with the same situation right on his doorstep. Basically, the story of Hosea, it's about these people, they needed to hear the love of God. Okay, think about this in terms of this coming year. I want to frame this for you in terms of this coming year. There's a people out there that need to hear the love of God, and there's a God that wants to tell them that he loves them. Amen? And he's got a unique way of getting this message through to them to demonstrate how he felt about them. And in Hosea's time, it was basically this. And remember, people don't change. People, that's a bad, is that a bad confession? People, of course people can change. But people are usually they're not inclined to listen. Same, it was the same in those days. And when they do listen, they don't understand. So what is it that we can do that's going to be different, that's going to get people to know the love of God and understand? Well, here's what happened with Hosea. God's answer to this problem was to allow Hosea, he was a prophet, to be his own sermon. Let your life speak what I'm doing through you. Isn't that amazing? In other words, he lived, the way he lived out his life with an impure and an unfaithful bride who he never stopped loving. Whenever she strayed away, he went and got her and took her back. Was a type and shadow of the type of love that God had for the people of that time. Can you imagine that? I don't know. Thankfully, we've never been in this situation, you know. But I'd maybe go and get Linda back once or twice. But three strikes and you're out, honey. I'm sorry. Game over. But this man kept on going back, getting her, bringing her back. I love you. I'll never stop loving you. And the God of Israel, Jehovah, is the same. Amen? The world is looking for an authentic love. Satan counterfeits everything out there. People are looking for an authentic love. And if they don't see the love of God in us, they're not going to find it anywhere else. We are the answer. As Christians, we are the answer. If people don't see the love of God in us, evidenced in us, they're not going to find it anywhere else. I can assure you of that. They may find it from someone else who is also a Christian, but they won't find it anywhere else unless they have a supernatural experience, encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I know that happens. But in the main, we are responsible for getting the word out there. Do you believe that? Amen? And so we need to renew and revive a zeal for our lives in the Lord. And this is what I'm getting to here this morning. I believe it's to encourage us to refire the zealous nature that God put in you. Do you know that? He put it in you. A zeal for the house. A zeal for others. You know, the source of your power and your witness to other people is living the life you're living, but living it with the overcoming power of God in it. That's the source of our power. You see, God doesn't want us to live necessarily a different life. He wants us to live our life with the overcoming power of Jesus Christ in it. He wants us to live our life well. Amen? Because it's like going back to Philippians 4. We see other people and how they're living, what they've got, their social status, their social standing. These guys, man, life is good. These guys are riding the wave right now. I wish I could have that. I wish I could be in his shoes. And God's saying, I want you to live your life with the power that I'm giving to you to live it. And I will fulfill the desires of your heart. I will satisfy you. There won't be a morning that you wake up where you'll be unfulfilled. Isn't that? I want more of that. I want more of that kind of life. You know, Jesus was zealous. You know that Jesus had a passion for the house. John 2:17 says this. This is in context with him driving the money changers out. Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. Amen? Amen. Is the zeal for God's house eating you up? Is it eating us up? Is it consuming us? Is the zeal for God's house? This is the house of the Lord. And we are the body. You know, Jesus is the head of the church. This stunned me this week, and I heard someone saying this. We need to be very careful about what we say about the body of Christ. We need to be careful what we say about other churches. This church will not criticize any church. We will love them, support them, and be there for them. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. If I said to Linda, sweetheart, I love your head, you're pretty, but your body's no good. I mean, I'm in the dog box. You cannot love the head and not love the body. You can't love the head and not love the body. And Jesus Christ is our head. We can't say we love you, Jesus, but criticize the church. We can't say we love you, Lord, and criticize a brother or a sister in the Lord. I'm getting a bit passionate about this. We can't say that. We haven't been called to sit in judgment of anybody. We've been called to love the unlovable and to love people. And to be zealous for the house. This is your church. Love your church. Love the body. Never disregard it. Never take it lightly. Amen. If we disregard God's house, He'll disregard ours. It's powerful. It's powerful. Amen. So this year, I'm going to round this message off this morning by reading out Psalm 65. But I want to just bring some New Year's focus tips. All right. I don't know if they'll be any good or not. But anyway, here goes. This year, let's dedicate time to our Father God every day and be fully committed to Him. Be dedicated. Make your dedication an everyday, daily thing. And be committed to Him. Amen. Dedicate time to developing yourself and improving yourself every day. Okay? Read, journal, meditate. Get back to these things. Keep them alive. Revive them. Amen? Here's another great tip for this new year. Dedicate time to at least one other person every day. That's a good one. Edifying and encouraging someone else, whether it's by a text message, an email, a phone call, seeing them in the street, make it your business to edify and encourage at least one person a day. Do you think that you can do that? And if after these three things you still feel unhappy, then serve somebody else. Serve. Serve. And finally, don't get bored. Was anyone bored in 2017? There were times where we felt sometimes we were on the treadmill. We felt like we were on the what do they call them? The pedalo. The pedalo. You know the problem with the pedalo? Man, they make you sick. We went to Florida one year on holiday when we were small. I think it was our first international holiday. It was a big deal. And we went on the pedalos. And the sea was kind of that way that day. Oh my, we were green. We were so sick. You know, and so don't get bored. Boredom gives way to the enemy. But excitement and passion and zeal will keep you alive. Boredom will kill you. Boredom does. Boredom just sucks the life out of you. And so we wanna stay excited and alive. You know, we got to dedicate time to pursuing. Anyone seen the Will Smith movie In Pursuit of Happiness? But we have to dedicate time to pursuing happiness. You know, there's in the seeking of the Lord, joy comes. So we've got to pursue that in our lives. You know, there was a study that showed that young people, like I guess our Nathan and Rachel's age, that leave college and they go and they pursue materialistic things like I need money and I need to make my mark in the world. Those people were surveyed and they were much less happy than the same students who left and went with goals like volunteering and nurturing friendships and forming relationships and settling in places and being stable. You know, so it just shows you that what our focus on is going to affect our well-being and our welfare. So I want to feel good. You know, you don't want to get up feeling bad, do you? You want to wake up in the morning feeling good. It's not a sin to say, I want to feel good. God enriches our life. God gave us our emotions to enrich our lives. And so when you feel something emotionally, that's God's reward. As far as I'm concerned, even sorrow is God's reward. Because we learn so much out of the trials and tribulations of life. Anyway, you ready to read Psalm 65? Now, I've got to apologize because this morning we were unable to get Psalm 65 in the Passion Translation, which is what I really wanted to read it to you in. And so we only have the New King James Version, but you can kind of follow it, but I'm going to read it out. But John has kindly said, we put the link to the Passion Translation on the website, on the live stream kind of thing, and you can link to it there. Does anyone have the Passion Translation of, it's an awesome translation of, I've got the Psalms and Proverbs translation, the Passion Translation. It's amazing. So let's read Psalm 65. What a Savior. We sang that this morning. Jesus, what a Savior. What a Savior. Psalm 65, for the pure and shining one. This is a poetic song of King David. All right? O God in Zion, to you even silence is praise. You are the God who answers prayer. All of humanity comes before you with their requests. Though we are overcome by our many sins, your sacrifice covers them all. And your priestly lovers, those you've chosen, will be greatly favored to be brought close to you. What inexpressible joys are theirs. What feasts of mercy fill them in your heavenly sanctuary. How satisfied we will be just to be near you. You answer our prayers with amazing wonders and with awe-inspiring displays of power. You are the righteous God who helps us like a father. Praise God for the Father heart of God. Everyone everywhere looks to you, for you are the confidence of all the earth, even to the farthest islands of the sea. What jaw-dropping, astounding power is yours. You're the mountain maker who sets them all in place. That's an amazing verse. What jaw-dropping, astounding power is yours, Lord. You're the mountain maker who sets them all in place. He's the mountain maker and the mountain mover and the mountain shaker. He is. You muzzle the roar of the mighty seas and the rage of mobs with their noisy riots. O God, to the farthest corners of the planet, people will stand in awe, startled and stunned by your signs and wonders. Sunrise brilliance and sunset beauty. This is the sunset of a year. It's the sunset of the year. It's a sunrise tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Both take turns singing their songs of joy to you. Your visitations of glory bless the earth. The rivers of God overflow and enrich it. You paint the wheat fields golden as you provide rich harvests. Every field is watered with the abundance of rain. Showers soaking the earth and softening its clods, causing seeds to sprout throughout the land. You crown the earth with its yearly harvest. Amen. He crowns the earth with its yearly harvest, the fruits of your goodness. Wherever you go, the tracks of your chariot wheels drip with oil. Luxuriant green pastures boast of your bounty as you make every hillside blossom with joy. The grazing meadows are covered with flocks, and the fertile valleys are clothed with grain, each one dancing and shouting for joy, creation celebration, and they're all singing their songs of praise to you. And you know, I see it this way, that God is crowned this year. We choose to remember the good. We choose to remember the goodness of God. God is the God of our yesterdays, our todays, and tomorrows. He's the God of an unchangeable past, but he's a God of an invincible future. I can't change anything in the past, but I can change the future. I can choose to, God, you're invincible and you're with me. It's amazing. So remember that this year. He crowns the year. You know, that psalm talks about a bountiful harvest. And a harvest implies that, first of all, seeds were sown. Amen? Steps were taken in faith. Ground was cultivated. The ground was worked. It was fertilized. And when you engage, when we engage with God this year in faith, amen, he'll prove faithful to us. And you, Emma, you understand this. You know, it's a garden. It's a harvest. And it's there. And when you plant the seeds and you tend to the seed, it will produce a harvest. Amen. And we were praying in the car this morning, Lord, we'll keep on sowing the seeds this year. We may not see the harvest of our seeds. We might see some of it, but we'll keep on sowing nonetheless. Amen. And you know, it's not just in the areas that we sow or that we harvest, that we sow in, that we'll see the harvest or the change or any difference. It's not just in those areas. Amen. God's love seeps into every part of our life, and he knocks on the doors of our heart. You know, in some of our lives, we've got doors that we've kept closed for years in our hearts. Some of us have given up hope of a harvest in some areas, and we've closed the door. I believe that this year, if you will open those doors that have been shut, that there will still be a harvest. Amen? He'll bring renewal. You know, that psalm says that even the hard pathways will overflow with abundance. You know, that's not just a trickle, that's an overflow. It's an overflow, it's more than enough. Amen? God's an extravagant God. Amen? And he wants to pour into your life, into our lives, his nature, his generosity, his love. Amen? And I believe that where there were hard pathways, freshness will come. Amen? Where there's been hard pathways, that a freshness, that there'll be a softness. You know, it's like when we're talking about earlier on that we were talking and all of a sudden it was like a spade in our hearts, turning things over, that there's going to be a softness. You know, if God is going to sprinkle your life with rain and with all of this stuff, with his Holy Spirit, it'll soften us up. Amen? So, praise God. Amen? I think that this year God will stretch us. He will stretch us this year, and he will challenge us this year. And you know, this message this morning has been hopefully encouraging and edifying, but also challenging. And we should never shrink back from the hard words that God wants us to speak. You know, and take heart, even with your friends and your family. Sometimes we're afraid or we're fearful to broach certain issues that have maybe been broken down or festering in our families for a while. But you know what? God gives us the wherewithal to speak the truth in love and to understand and to comprehend. And you know what? Everything is in the... A journeyman of mine once told me this because I was in sales for many, many years. He says, David, everything's in the delivery. Everything is in the delivery. The way your attitude of your heart, the countenance of your face, the action, you would not believe that the tiniest movement of your face or your body speaks volumes to someone that is in front of you. People want us to be authentic. They want us to be real and transparent. And when we are at that place, we can have these conversations that will change the life, our life, their life. It'll fix the broken stuff, and it'll move us on. You know, the word says that a house divided will not stand. It will not stand. And the main way that Satan tries to get a foothold in the body is through division. I encourage every one of you this year, stay strong together. Be united together. Don't let the devil divide you. Don't let him divide your families. Hosea and Gomer, that's all I'm going to say. Hosea and Gomer is all I'm going to say. You know, you can have World War III over who you loaded that dishwasher incorrectly. we have trouble. But you know what? Let's get things into perspective. Amen. I've got disco music this morning. Amen. So let's finish with this. Romans 8:28 says, "He works all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose." So live a life this year that is not boring. Live an exciting life. Pursue a life of excitement. Amen? Amen. There's lots of people here that are on an exciting pathway already. It's awesome. It's awesome. And this year is going to be a great year. Amen. Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.